Our scripture tonight is from Psalm 123 in the New Living Translation. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord, our God, for his mercy. Just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. For we have had our fill of contempt. We have had more than our fill of the scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, we long for you to bring your word alive in us tonight, that we might hear you speaking your truth into our lives, that we might catch a glimpse of your glory, that we might be transformed, God, by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who have been here often on Thursday night know how I feel about the book of Psalms. I love, love, love the Psalms because there's this incredible richness, if you will, of human emotion. Probably any emotion we as human beings could feel is expressed in the Psalms. And yet, there are also these incredible songs of praise, these incredible glimpses of God's glory. As a matter of fact, the book of Psalms was sort of the first hymnal, if you will, of the church. And we're continuing our look at some of the songs of ascent, or as the New Living Translation says, songs for those in a pilgrimage going to the temple in Jerusalem. The songs that probably the Jewish people sang as they made their mandatory appearance at the temple three times a year in Jerusalem, and they sang these songs. And tonight's psalm gives us a glimpse into one of the things that I love so much about the Psalms. Talk about pulling off your church face. Because this is a song that people are singing as they're going to God's house. Have mercy on us, God, because we are fed up. We have had our fill of contempt, of scorn, of proud people, of difficult people, of scoffers. Have mercy on us, God, because we are fed up. You don't get a whole lot realer than that walking into church with those words. And I love it because it gives us permission to be real people. Sometimes we think we have to have just the right religious words, just the right Christianese, and our hearts can be breaking and we can be so angry and fed up and disappointed and disillusioned, right? And when asked how we are in church, we go, fine, how are you? The Psalms invite us to drop that. Stop playing games. Stop pretending you live in a Pollyanna world. Stop pretending you're a perfect person with these robot emotions. Be a real, live, flesh and blood God follower. And sometimes when we walk this broken path, when we walk in this broken world, we get fed up. And that's how the writer of the psalm was. He was fed up. He was tired. He was frustrated. He was fed up with the people that he had to deal with. Can I get an amen? Right? Right? We've all been there. We've all had that feeling, whether it's with people we know intimately and personally, or whether it's the larger world, or whether it's the Facebook world, or whether it's the world that we see on the news, whatever it is, there's times where fed up. But what I love about what the psalmist does is he knows what to do with those emotions. Because I don't know about you, but when I get fed up, I usually fuss and fume, you know? I walk out of places. I quit things. I ignore people. I let it stew and fester until it's so ugly I can't even stand myself. And the psalmist is so much wiser than me because he acknowledges the emotions as we see all through the Psalms, no matter who wrote them, David or Solomon or Asaph or the sons of Korah or ones whose authors we don't even know. They acknowledge their emotion. They acknowledge their feelings. But then they know what to do with it. Because the psalmist doesn't just say, I'm fed up, I've had my fill. And that word in Hebrew is, you're just filled up to the very brim, almost splashing over. That's what the psalmist says he is with contempt. He's just filled up with it. He's so weary of it. He's so tired of it. He can't take any more. But he doesn't stay home from the temple. You know, he doesn't stay home and put on his favorite TV show to make him laugh, to make him forget the problems that he's facing. He says this, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in the heavens. You know, we started out this series a few weeks ago with the psalmist saying, I lift my eyes to the hills. I'm looking up at the hills. Where does my help come from? And then he reminds himself, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But this time, the psalmist is looking even higher. He's not looking at the hills. He's got his eyes on God Almighty, El Shaddai, Jehovah, enthroned in the heavenly places, because that's where my help is. And so he cries out for mercy. You know, and I love that he's not crying out for justice. He's not saying to God, prove all these idiots wrong, God, vindicate me. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm fed up, I've had my fill, I don't know if I can keep on going, so have mercy on me, God. And that Hebrew word means mercy and favor and grace. God, show me your favor, God, give me your grace. Have mercy on me, God. Be merciful to me because I'm at the end of my rope. He knows exactly what to do, exactly where to go with this tumult of emotion, with this frustration, with this feeling of contempt that has filled him up to overflowing. There's one place, the psalmist says, that I'm setting my eyes on. There's one place. There's one place that I'm going to find help, and that's from the Lord who's enthroned in heaven. And then there's this interesting analogy. It says, just as the slave looks to the hand of his master, and just as the handmaiden looks to the hand of her mistress, so we will look to the Lord and we'll wait on the Lord for mercy. Particularly in the East, in the Eastern world at that time, masters, mistresses, slave owners very rarely gave verbal directions to their slaves. They made simple hand motions to direct them what to do. So these handmaids, and it's interesting here that we're comparing male and female. We have both included, and I love that in a male-dominated world. The scriptures remind us all the time that women are absolutely as welcome in the kingdom of God as men. Mistresses, as a matter of fact, women who were the mistresses of slaves, had more disciplined slaves usually than the men. And so a handmaid was very careful to watch the hand of her mistress so that she did whatever it was the mistress was commanding her, whatever sign it was that she would do. Because the hand of the master, it's interesting, the word master is Adonai, which is Lord, which is what we call God as well. But the hand of the master, the hand of the mistress, was a whole lot of things. It was direction, telling them what to do. It was a hand of provision that gave them what they needed. It was a hand of protection. They were under the protection of their master. And so the hand was so important. And so the psalmist says, just like a slave would watch his master's hand or her master's hand, So we watch, so we keep our eyes on the Lord God. And I love it that this psalmist is reminding us of the intimacy of the relationship that God has called us to, and how much more now that we have seen God in the face of Jesus Christ. That God longs to direct us, to comfort us, to provide for us, to protect us, if we will just let him. God longs to be interactive in our lives, giving us signs and directions, if you will, just like the master did to his servant. We're invited into this communion with God, where we look to him and he directs us. And that's so often where we blow it, where we mess up, because when things get out of control, when we're plagued by problems, whether they're of our own making or not of our making at all, we start looking at the problem. We start looking at the frustration. We start looking at the objects of our frustration. We start looking at the people who don't respect us. We start looking at the world that doesn't listen to us or care about us. And we get tripped up and trapped up, and we become people that we don't like. The psalmist says, don't go it alone with those heavy emotions. Don't go it alone with your sadness or your anger or your disappointment or your fed upness. Keep your eyes on God Almighty, who's enthroned in heaven. Watch him. Listen to him, invite him in, so that we start to know how to respond, so we start to receive his mercy. Because the psalmist isn't looking for mercy from the people who he's frustrated with, who he's fed up with. He's not looking for that. He's not looking for vindication. He's looking for mercy from God, for relief, for the power to deal with the frustration. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Just as a servant would know very quickly the signs, the directions that his master would give him, how much more those of us who are servants of God, who he also calls friends and sons and daughters, how much more does God long to speak his truth into our lives, to speak his healing into our lives, to pour his mercy into our lives as we keep our eyes on him and start to understand what his voice sounds like. As we lay down, if you will, the right to vindicate ourselves, to prove our own point, to give back exactly what we get in an angry, sometimes hateful world, we lay that down, watching for his direction, watching for his transforming work in us, and hearing his invitation to drop these heavy, heavy burdens of these overwhelming emotions that many of us carry around. I long for my heart when I'm fed up. I long for my heart when I am frustrated, when I'm losing my faith, when I'm losing my hope, when I'm a person that I don't want to be. I'm longing for my heart's reaction to be to look up. Paul tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author, who's the perfecter of our faith. I long to hear his voice more clearly, to watch his hand, if you will, for the direction he has for my life. That I can live a life of obedience to him, trusting in him, following him. That not only would I deal better with my everyday life, but more and more and more I'd be the woman that he created me to be. Transformed, if you will, from glory to glory to glory to glory. I lift my eyes to the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, the God Almighty enthroned in the heavenly places. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you know well these human emotions that we deal with. And although emotions are a blessing from you, they're what make us human. God, you know how damaging they can be to us sometimes. You know the anger and the frustration that we hold on to, that we let eat us up. God, show us how to respond like the psalmist does. God, show us how in the middle of the turmoil of whatever emotion it is that we're feeling, God, that we would lift our eyes and look at you. Lord, that everything else in our lives would fade. God, show us how to hear your voice, how to hear you speak from your word, to hear you as you speak to us as we pray, to hear you speak to us as we worship you, God, that we would be people who follow your directions, God, who bring our problems and our stresses into your very presence, that you might do a great work in us. God, be merciful to us because we desperately need your mercy. Shower us with your grace, God. We just invite you in to those places in our lives where we're fed up, where we're filled to the brim with something we don't want to be filled with, God. We invite you in and ask that you would have your way in us. We ask it in Jesus' name.